So today we, as I mentioned at the beginning of Mass, we have this scripture text, this parable of Jesus that really teaches us about the proximity of good and evil in a fallen world. Jesus, as he died upon the cross, destroyed evil, but it still persists in our world because there are so many people that don't buy into the victory. And that becomes then the struggle of all of us, really. We're in this life that has been saddled with both. And we even have the potential in ourselves for both. There have been different times from the pulpit where I've talked about the world. Now, there's two senses of the world in the Bible. There's the world that our Father has created, which is so loved by the Father that he sent his Son into the world to save it. It's not something he just trashes because it's fallen. No, he wants to save it. Some things, maybe when they go bad in our refrigerators, we throw them away. Well, God doesn't do that. He loves this world and sent his Son to come and redeem it. And then there's another sense of the world, however, that is opposed to God. It doesn't know God. It's opposed to Christ. It is the world that we create in our fallen human natures. It's the world of shadows. It's the world that is skin deep. And that world out there that doesn't know God and is opposed to God wants to convince you that the only life you have is the life of the body. That's what that world out there is trying to convince you of. The only life you have as a human being is life in the body, sensible life that you feel. And if you identify with that, if you let that world out there that doesn't know God, that is opposed to Christ, convince you that the only life you have is the life in the body, then when your body deteriorates in the earth, that's the end of your life for all eternity, because it's all you have of life, is the life in the body. That's it. And it ends with the deterioration of the body into ashes in the earth for all eternity. And this is why the Bible is constantly trying to call us not to live only for the body, not to live only for the sensible pleasures of the body. Because ultimately, they really can't satisfy us. There's no end to a sense, whether it be sight, hearing, feeling in the body, there's no end to its desire for further satisfaction. Because yesterday's satisfaction is gone, and today is another day to be satisfied. It never ends. It's not satisfied ever if what we identify with is the life of the body. I'll never forget how I realized this. Believe it or not, I found this out and discovered this truth about how unsatisfactory the bodily life is from a rock star that I used to listen to at least when I was a kid. Maybe I'm starting to age myself. I can't honestly say I was like truly devoted to this rock star. He was famous at the time I was growing up, and I think he's still shaking his hips for 13-year-olds even to this day in his 70s. But nonetheless, Mick Jagger, am I aging myself here? Yeah, probably. I'm probably an old retro leftover iron rusted entity for saying that name. But Mick Jagger, of course, is the lead singer still of the, what is it called? The Rolling Stones. Yes, there we go. Thank you. We have some other retro, rusty types here, too. But he is, and he still is. They're still going strong, still very famous. But he had a song at one point on the radio that was very famous, and I still hear it today sometimes. And it's called Satisfaction. And Mick Jagger sings about how he can't get none. And I remember when it struck me, and it was after I was in seminary, I wasn't even ordained a priest yet, I almost felt angry when I got in touch with what that song is singing about. Here is a man who has popularity in the worldly sense, very popular. He's incredibly wealthy in terms of taking wealth to the extreme, one man with like millions and millions of dollars, filling stadiums across the world with his popularity. He's going through women like they're consumer items in a retail store. And he's singing to me that he can't get no satisfaction. And I remember when that struck me, I thought, I felt kind of angry at him. I said, what in the world are you doing then? I can't get no, you remember this? Satisfaction. And there he is, wealthier than I'll ever be, with more popularity than any one of us is ever going to know, more women that he's going through like consumer goods, and he's telling me that he can't get any satisfaction. There it is, my friends. You don't have to chase the life and the body to the extreme to find out if it's satisfying. Mick Jagger will tell you. It's not. And it never will be. And there's no end to the need of sensible life in the body for satisfaction. So when we identify then with the world, that's where you're headed. It's a dead end. It's a cul-de-sac. It goes nowhere. And when the body does deteriorate in the earth, that's it. It's over for all eternity, because that's the only life you've had. So what does the Bible propose to us? We need to foster within our life in the body the inner life of the Spirit, which is going to go on for all eternity. We need to foster life in the soul, though. Because, see, what evil does is evil is, of its very nature, taking. That's what it does. That's what it is. When we commit evil, we're on the take at some level. So, lying. I'm stealing truth from someone. You can't have the truth, so I deny it to them. I take it away. Killing, obviously, I'm taking someone's life. I'm going to take it away from them. You can't have it anymore. I'm taking it from you. Go through all the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not steal. I'm taking someone else's goods from their house. I'm chopping down their tree on their property. I'm bashing in their windshield with road rage, taking away their windshield. I'm taking. That's what evil does. It is on the take. So when we are experiencing evil, guess what? The devil is taking away from us. When I enter the bridal chamber outside of marriage, I have not only virginity taken away from me, but also the virtue of chastity, which is life-preserving within the soul. Oh, it might feel very fulfilling in the body for one day, but tomorrow's another day. And guess what? We have taken our propensity and movement towards sin to the gym and strengthened it. So now we got momentum to live according to the body and alone when we start to reinforce it. And I'm living in keeping with the body as the only source of life and satisfaction in this world. See, when I take that to the gym, I'm strengthening it. So we got to go to the other side and live, as Paul says, according to the life of the Spirit. We need to exercise our spiritual life, and that is spiritual, which is most interior. And that's who I am as a man, who you are as men and women. We need to cultivate the interior life. and not become just skin deep. See, then you become a man or woman of substance. That was my first impression when I met Mother Teresa, after the fact that it registered, she only came up to hear on me. She was so tiny, and she looked up at me. This woman was so substantial. She was a woman of substance. That was the impression, the overall impression I still have of her. She was so impressionable that way. She had her feet so solid on the ground, she was unmovable. Such a woman of substance. And yet, sensibly, bodily, we know Mother Teresa felt empty throughout most of her life. She was living according to faith, the God she couldn't see, the God she worshiped in the Eucharist. Sensibly, bodily, she lived almost 40 years in sensible desolation and dryness. And throughout all that time, when she might have felt tempted to abandon the faith, when she might have felt tempted to go for surrogate solutions, reach for the fifth of whiskey, reach for whatever other solution or quick solution we might have for that, she didn't reach for it. She stayed the course of her faith and cultivated the life of the Spirit and became such a woman of substance. And that's our challenge. That's our challenge. Jesus is, according to our Catholic faith, literally the perfect human being. And all I can tell you is, I still haven't gotten there yet. I still keep praying, Lord, help me become more and more like you. And you know, when you start to look at what that means, there is so much sensible bodily suffering going on the cross. And when you look at the cross, there's something about it sensibly that repulses us. But see, what you see there is, yes, there's a man suffering bodily, but he is totally dead to that world that would identify him only with the body. And there's no one who ever lived on the face of the earth at that moment who is more alive to our Heavenly Father. He flips it. You see, it kind of takes what we identify as the only thing in human life and puts us on our head. He flips it. Life is determined by the interior life. What's going on in there? Because that is what's going to last forever. Unless I neglect it, you see. And we need to exercise that. We need to undergo spiritual exercises through faith by coming here to Mass and celebrating it. During the week, do you ever pray? Do you exercise your spiritual life? Do you exercise your spiritual muscle? Do you take it to the gym and exercise it? Or do you just neglect it and go on 1 hour a week? This is what we need to be doing, brothers and sisters, and that's what these parables are all about. See, evil and good are within reach for all of us here. They are definitely within reach because of Jesus Christ. Because of Jesus Christ. Before him, there was no other way but down. But in Christ, the heavens opened up, and he's thrown open the gates of heaven and said, come up here. But that doesn't happen without us. And we need to begin to learn what that means, each one of us. I can only preach for 8 to 10 minutes up here about what that means, and that's not going to do it for you. You're going to need to get in there yourself and start to investigate what this means. I can tell you what it means to me, but each one of you is going to need to learn what that means to you. Because we got to start aiming for the kingdom of heaven and not allow that world out there to lull us to sleep to lull us to sleep. Because that is the great challenge. When we fall asleep, that's when the enemy comes by and he sows his seed. And if we're not awake, he might start taking away from us goods and we'll become empty. And we don't want to be empty when we come before our good Lord. We want to be filled with the goods of the kingdom of heaven, beginning with life itself. The wages of sin is death, because when we do evil, life is being taken from us. We might still have life in the body, but it will only last as long as the body does, if all we're going to do is live for life in the body. And I'm not saying the body is bad, evil, terrible, ugly. No, God made us with a body. But guess what? The spirit is also beautiful and good and meant to be cultivated and not allowed to atrophy and grow weak so that we become ignorant of ourselves. Who am I? Who am I? What kind of a person am I? That's all coming from inside of you. Who are you? Who are you? Who do you want to be? What do you want to be like? Are you willing to start sacrificing for it? What kind of life are you looking forward to in the future? The first time you meet evil, are you going to become a victim and stay down? Blame everybody else for your problems? Is that what we're going to do? Or can we, like Jesus going up Calvary, maybe get up again with his help, and even with his healing, and start once again on the journey to cultivate the interior life of the spirit, the human spirit that, as Paul says, is strengthened with the Holy Spirit that we received in baptism? This is what we're talking about, brothers and sisters. We're not alone on this journey. And it's only Christ that defeats evil. So we need to be with him and stay with him, become disciples, and start to learn from the Master. Brothers and sisters, that's what I exhort you to today. Don't put it off any longer. I remember when I went to seminary at the age of 19, and I didn't know what I was going to do at that point. I was a pre-med student, and I was either going to go back and be a pre-med student, or I was going to go on to priesthood. Hadn't prayed for a long time. And I made a little sign for myself. If you don't know how to pray, start praying, and he'll teach you. That's all I did. That's what I did. I didn't know how to pray, but I just started. Guess what? He taught me how. That's how I learned. Well, I don't know. I haven't read any books on it. Why should you? Jesus is a good instructor. So let's not put it off anymore. Let's get on board with Jesus. Let's start to learn from him what it means to grow in virtue and cultivate the life of the Holy Spirit within us, which strengthens the interior life and frees us from becoming enslaved to the outer man and the outer woman of sensible life as though that's all there is. Oh, let me tell you, there's so much more.